morning. The Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31, and it can be found on page 613 in the Pew Bible. Ode to a Capable Wife. A capable wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchants. She brings her food from far away. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and tasks for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid for her household when it snows, for all her household are clothed in crimson. She makes herself coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the city gates, taking his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies the merchants with sashes. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her happy, her husband too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share in the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the city gates. And from the New Testament, James chapter 3, verses 13 through chapter 4, verse 3. And that's on page 230 in the Pew Bible. Two kinds of wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, and without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. And then, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, bless the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, my mind. And thanks be to my great Redeemer. Amen. The challenge that we have most of the time in our lives is knowing right from wrong. Okay, maybe the challenge isn't knowing right from wrong. It's deciding to do what we know is right based on the things that we would rather do, even though they are wrong. James continues with, and again, my theme throughout this is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Has been for the last 4 weeks, and I'm going to continue on that because we have to be deliberate about what it is our purpose. Jesus has already saved us, okay? Jesus has already paid the price for our salvation. Hallelujah. So not a single one of us can save anybody in here. We can't even save ourselves because it's already been done. What we can do is work to share that Holy Spirit that's already saved us and bring them to the realization of what Christ has already done for them. So how do we do that? We make them disciples of Christ. For what? For the transformation of the world. That is our purpose. It's not just a mission statement of the church. It's a purpose of any disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us the great commission. Go ye into all the world and preach my gospel to everyone. That's what we have to do. Now, James realizes that we all know that, but deciding to do it wisely, deciding to do it with the right motive. In that chapter 3, verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Big question mark. Don't need a show of hands. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life what your works, that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. You've heard the phrase, they'll know you by your works, or you'll be known by your fruits. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there should be some evidence. There should be something to show for the way that Jesus has changed your life. If you're still living in the same squalor that you were when you came to know Him, then did you really allow Him to start transforming you? If you did, then there should be some evidence of it. Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7. Well, what is wisdom? It goes all the way back to a guy by the name of Solomon. The first chapter, the seventh verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So which camp are you in? But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom doesn't come down from above. It's earthly, unspiritual, devilish. So we have several different types of wisdom. There's the worldly kind, and we can see that by its fruits. How? It's earthly, it's unspiritual, it's devilish. There's envy and self-ambition. You know, how many of you growing up saw somebody driving a car that was better looking than your car? It was newer, shinier. Man, I sure wish I had that. Or a motorcycle. Or saw some new house that just got built. Oh, that's a lovely house. I sure wish. Now, there's a difference between envy, in other words, desiring so desperately to have what they have that you're willing to do anything to attain it. There's a difference between that and acknowledgement or recommendation that yellow Camaro, 1967 Camaro, looks great, or that blue GTO with a 440 engine and a Hemi and thrust stick shift and just white leather. That was the car my brother had. You can see it left an impression on me. White sidewalls. Did I mention that it was blue? I think I've exhausted all the details I want to share. It was actually. So that's a very critical detail. Okay. So if you have envy, and that is you're willing to do anything to get it, there's a realization that something is good or beautiful or lovely. There's nothing wrong with that. It's when you pursue getting it for yourself at the detriment of everything else in your life. Selfish ambition. It's okay to be ambitious, to want to be better. I mean, goodness gracious, how many football players did you have, Chuck, that you just wanted to go out there and have fun and, you know? The ambition is for them to be all they can be. It's not just a theme that the Army uses. Army of one, be all that you can be. But that selfish ambition, selfish ambition is self-pointed. In other words, I want to succeed. I want to be better. I want more. I want that car. I want that house. And there's disorder and wickedness of every kind because it's wanting something for the wrong reason. Yes, you're smart. You see that it's wonderful and you want it. That's bad wisdom. Wisdom that is from above, this is the right wisdom. This is starting in verse 17. Wisdom from above is what? First, it's pure. Now, what does that mean? I mean, if you are wise and it's pure, it's coming from God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We're desiring what the Lord wants. We ask what the Lord wants. Not what we want so much as, Lord, show me the way. Lord, help me. Then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. You mean I have to give up my dream? You mean I have to let somebody else go first? I want to get there first. You have to yield. Sometimes someone else, I want that cookie. I want that piece of cake. I want. Now, if it's true wisdom, it's peaceful, so I don't want something that belongs to somebody else. And I'm not willing to give up everything for that piece of cookie or that piece of cake. And if there's only enough cake for one of us, maybe I should split the cake and share. That would be wise, right? Even if you have to share it with two or three or four. Full of mercy and full of good fruits. Would you recognize a good fruit if you saw it? Let's walk through some examples of good fruits. How many of you can cook, I mean really cook, a ton of beef, pork? How many of you can really? No, I want a show of hands of those who think they can. Now, we already know there's somebody here who can, but how many of you think that you can? We know him by his fruits. Now, that's out of generosity. You do not want me sitting in front of the organ. You know Janice plays the organ wonderfully. Becky plays the piano wonderfully. You don't want me touching that. That's not where my gifts and talents lie. The keys are simple. Tink, 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 tink. I might be able to get through chopsticks, but other than that, full of mercy and good fruits. And the other kicker in there, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. What's a hypocrite? Says one thing, does another. Or says something and does something, but they're doing it for the wrong reason. They're doing it to convince you of how great and wonderful they are. That's the hypocrisy, a hypocrite. What you want to do is you're doing the good job because you have those gifts and talents. You have those graces. You're doing that so that everyone else can enjoy the gifts and talents that God has given you. The lady who sang for us, Michelle Thacker. Now, gifts and graces? Could she sing? Were you blessed? That is sharing your gifts and graces. Where's Janice? Thank you for sharing your friends' gifts and graces. That's all part of being wise. It's being smart. It's knowing to do the right thing at the right time. Because it's the right thing and the right time. And you share, not so everybody will think of how great and glorious and wonderful and talented you are, but so that they'll enjoy those gifts and graces. All of this, if you look at verse 7 and 8, this wisdom, I said, Proverbs 1:7, what? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Verse 7 and 8, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What does that require you to do? Submit yourself to God. So wisdom is actually, and when you think of the piece in Proverbs 1:7, fear of the Lord, the translation of that is actually be in awe of the Lord. The Lord is so great, so glorious, so powerful that none of us even has an inkling of an ability to come to understand even a small portion of His greatness, His mercy, His love. How in the world He can forgive someone who pillaged and plundered all his life, and he's hanging on a cross next to him, and he turns to Jesus and he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Who would have thought that the wisdom, the grace and the glory and the power and the depth of His grace and mercy was such that Jesus would look at that thief that day and say to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now that's grace. That's mercy. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. In that, it's almost as if it's all dependent on you, right? Because it says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Well, I'm here to tell you, He can't get any closer to you. He is in you. Everyone who has received communion has God in him. Whoever has had a baptism performed has God in you. But drawing nearer to Him is focusing on Him, not yourself. In awe and wonder of what God has done for you, is doing in you, is doing for the people around you, is doing in this great, marvelous world, in spite of what you might read in the newspapers or see on the television. They will show us all the things that are tough, all the things that are bad. And once in a while, they'll throw in a good piece. But the truth of the matter is, there's the glory of God everywhere around. And by submitting ourselves to God, what we're doing is, He doesn't make us love Him. He loved us first. He wants us to love Him. He wants it to be your idea to surrender yourself to Him. He's not twisting your arm. He's not sitting on your shoulder saying, well, you know, you really ought to do this. I mean, that's the other guy. You really like the color of that GTO. Do whatever it takes to get it, and then you won't be happy with it. Submit yourself to God. He promises an everlasting life. Stay near to the heart of God. Have God's heart your focus and your every effort. That's when you truly submit to God. Shalom. Our hymn of invitation is Blessed Assurance, number 369.